Praise the Lord. This God has a desire to express to all of you this evening. He wants all of you to know that His topmost priority for each and every one of us is this. Please believe with all of your heart, this is your God's top priority for you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God's desire is that above all things, some of us believe that God wants us prosperous. Some of us believe that God wants us healthy, but we don't believe that this is top priority with God. It's above all things. He calls you beloved. Then He says, I wish. Your father is talking, I wish above all things. Above evangelism. Above everything. This is my top priority for you. I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So one thing that has settled in our hearts is this, that even among the Word of Faith circles, sometimes we don't believe it's a top priority. Amen. We hear voices outside that call themselves Christians, but then they come against prosperity, they come against healing. They say healing is past. But when you look at the Bible promises that God's desire for you is to prosper and be in health. Amen. If healing is a work of the devil, then Jesus went around healing the sick. So what are these people saying? No, the Bible clearly says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. You come to this church, we're going to emphasize to you, God wants you well. Amen. God wants you healthy. Amen. God wants you prosperous. Amen. Oh, are you one of the bunch that preaches health and wealth gospel, Pastor Prince? Well, number one, it's not the gospel. Health and wealth is not the gospel. The gospel is called the gospel of grace and peace. But when you believe the gospel, there'll be health, there'll be wealth. All right? It very clearly tells us right there. All right? God's desire for us above all things is that you prosper, be in health. That's wealth, that's health. Amen. Don't apologize for it. Amen. Come on, amen. Amen. I mean, God is not interested in your denomination. God is not interested in your ideas. Amen. God wants us only to prioritize His Word. Yep. And this Word tells us that above all things, He wants you to prosper. Amen. And be in health. Yes. Eternal life affects the spirit, changes people's minds, become sharper, become more productive. And I'm telling God desires for you above all things, you prosper and be in health. Amen. Even as your soul prospers. But Pastor Prince, wealth can destroy some people. And I don't want wealth, Pastor Prince. Well, the Bible says prosperity destroys fools. If you say, I don't want prosperity because it will destroy me, I'm hearing you now. Amen. Prosperity destroys fools. Amen. David was prosperous. He wasn't destroyed. Abraham was very rich. He wasn't destroyed. If prosperity destroys, it will destroy everybody. Amen. No. But God has put a safety valve in this verse, all right, for our health and our wealth. There is a safety valve because God loves you so much, all right? God will make sure first that everything that you do is for your soul's prosperity, even as your soul prospers. So how much of your soul is prospering is how much you are being blessed or manifesting that health and wealth. If your soul is prospering only 60%, then your health and wealth is even as your soul prospers. If your soul prospers 100%, your health and wealth will be even as your soul prospers. Now, I think God is very, very wise to put this qualification there, even as your soul prospers. And today I want to share with you about how to cause your souls to prosper. Amen. Come on. God wants your souls to prosper. Now, why does God want our souls to prosper? And then when you prosper in your soul, everything outside prospers. Because this is how much God loves you. God will not want to increase your wealth. And then when you don't have the soul prosperity, what happens is that you leave your wife, you leave your family, because all of a sudden you have a lot of money. But you don't have soul prosperity. Your inner man is not prosperous. Amen. When God gave wisdom to Solomon, the Bible says God also gave him largeness of heart, generosity. Amen. Like the sand on the seashore. God gave both wisdom and largeness of heart. You know, I look at some management people who are Christians. I look at some leaders sometimes in the church down through the years. And when God gives them a certain amount of wisdom, they become impatient with people under them. Why can't you see this? Why can't you see that? It's common sense. Why can't you? You know, if they can see it, they'll be your boss. That's the reason why God made you a leader. You see more things. Humble yourself and use it to serve people. Humble yourself and use it to serve His glory. Amen? So, when God gives wisdom, God gives largeness of heart. When God gives us wealth, God gives us, first of all, that wealth is equivalent even as your soul's prosperity. Your health is even as your soul's prosperity. Can I have a good amen? Some of you, if God, you know, God really, in spite of your soul's prosperity, some of you ladies, if God really renewed your youth like Sarah, Sarah's youth was so renewed, but she never left her husband. Kings wanted her for their harem, more than one king, but she never left her husband. You know why? Her soul was prosperous. Amen. If God would really prosper you and prosper your body and prosper your health, you know, our church is relatively prosperous. Amen. I would say that. Won't you say that? Amen. And we give all the glory to God. Amen. People say, well, God is not into numbers. Well, when the first bunch of people got saved on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit says 3,000 got saved. Later on, the Holy Spirit says 5,000 got saved. Well, God is not interested in numbers. Amen. No, numbers play a part. But it is not the criteria of the spiritual health. But it plays a part. It is an effect. Come on. Are you listening, church? And there are people who cannot take the pressure of the ministry. They cannot take the pressure of a big ministry. They cannot take the pressure of the financial responsibilities that come with it. Some of them get into financial mismanagement. Why? Because their souls are not prospering. You're not able to take the pressures outside, even though the pressures are because of success. So God makes sure, God loves you too much to cause you to fall. So God makes sure that God makes sure that your inside prospers. So that when the outside comes and become more and more successful, there's a pressure that comes with success. Your inside can stand strong and resist it. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So your soul prosperity. Now, Pastor Prince, how do I prosper my soul? Would you like to know it? Look at the context. All right? We seldom look at the context. Look at the context. This is John, the Apostle John writing. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. Say, walk in the truth. Then listen to God's heart. God expressed His heart through John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Again, say, walk in truth. So walking, whatever this truth is, walking in truth prospers your soul. Notice the constant reference to it in the context of your soul's prosperity. Hello? What is this truth? Well, number one, we know that truth is not the Ten Commandments. How do we know that? Because the law, the commandment was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice the contrast. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Obviously, truth is not the law. The law is a fact, but grace is the truth. Amen. So what is walking in the truth? The more you believe the gospel, that's why they say the gospel truth. Gospel is the truth. Amen. And the gospel truth declares, because of Jesus' sacrifice, God has removed all your sins. They're all forgiven. You are justified by the blood of Jesus. This is the truth of the gospel. You know, one time the apostle Peter, he's a Jew, and he was eating with some Gentile converts, and probably he was eating ham and bacon and eggs with the Gentile converts. And he heard that some Jewish Christians were coming from Jerusalem. And in hypocrisy, he withdrew himself. Now, Paul was mad. When Paul saw that, Paul rebuked him. Paul says that he did not walk according to the truth of the gospel. So what is walking according to the truth, or walking in truth? You got to believe the gospel. Amen. I'm going to show you right now John's definition of walking in the truth. Now, all the apostles, they have their own slant. The truth is the truth. But you know, it's like an elephant. a blind man, you know, touch the elephant and says that it has only a small tail or a small trunk. The other guy says, no, it's very long, long tail. Depends on which part they touch, right? Amen. So truth is huge. Truth is vast about the gospel. But when Paul shares it, Paul shares from a different slant. How does John share it? Because John is talking about walking in the truth. Would you like to know what John refers to when he talks about walking in the truth? How many will venture a guess? What does John emphasize in all his letters? What is like, very good. Who said that? 100 marks to you. John refers a lot to the love aspect of the truth. I'm going to show you right now what I call the cycle of love. The cycle of love. Love begins with God. It was in John's letter that John states by the Spirit, God is love. Amen. So let's look up here right now. It says, this is love. I'm going to show you the cycle of truth or the cycle of love in terms of walking in the truth here in John's own slant of presenting the gospel. Okay? John loves to talk about love. Now, do you know something? Do you know that of all the 12 disciples, John lived the longest? In fact, church history tells us they tried to boil him alive one time. You know, they tried to boil him. They put him in the boiling pot. All right? And I pray he probably took it as a wonderful spa experience because he lived and he got out of it. Finally, they threw him on an island called Patmos. And even in the island bound with chains in a cave and all that, he had a cinema show every day without CG effects. He saw the book of Revelation. He saw heaven. He saw the throne. He saw Jesus. He saw God the Father. He saw the rainbow. He saw the 24 elders. I mean, all this is not Hollywood. John really experienced a lot of wonderful things, amen? And he lived the longest. And John, in his old age, based on church history, one of his disciples, I think it was Polycarp, came to him and says, he was very old now, and says, John, Apostle John, Brother John, why do you always emphasize on love? He says, at the end of everything, there is nothing but love. Think about it. Even Paul says, and now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. You see, when you finally are in heaven, there's no more need for hope. Hope is materialized. All that's left finally in heaven is love. We're going to love our families there. We're going to love one another there. We're going to love Jesus. We're going to love God. Love the Holy Spirit. Love all the saints that has gone on before. We're going to love forever. Amen. Amen. You were created for love. That's why your body cannot take it when you hate someone or you bear a grudge or you have unforgiveness. It's not that God makes you sick. Today, medical science have proven even that those with autoimmune disorders or psychosomatic diseases, many of them, they can trace back to their emotional realm being affected. Like if you're always fearful in your emotions with your soul realm, and your soul realm is not prospering because you're always fearful, you can develop pain in your intestines, skin disorders, you can affect a lot of things. And now they are proving that. Mm-hmm. The other day I saw in the papers, they talk about personality profiles of cancer patients. It was a forum by doctors. And apparently, I read some articles on it where it says that certain personality type are more cancer prone. And usually people who are morose, sad, depressed, and melancholy. And maybe people who sleep during the pastor's sermon. No, I didn't see anyone sleeping. I'm just teasing. All right, but I have seen also for my own self down through the years as a pastor, when I counsel people, there are ladies who have gone through a divorce. All right, I know of one particular case now, a lady's sister who went through a bad divorce. She didn't want a divorce. She went through a divorce and she hated her husband. Her ex-husband. All right? In a short time, she had cancer and she passed away. Not from this church, but I know about it. Usually they say that there's a major crisis before that precipitates this condition. And I'm telling you, the Bible says you are in health even as your soul, your emotions prosper. Make sure your emotions are full of joy, happiness, and peace. Amen. Don't give in to this melancholy, sadness, depression. I don't know why I feel so blue. Amen. One thing I have a revelation in one of the services just now when I was preaching. And this is the revelation. I have cast out demons in my life Pastor Henry and I had experienced even a casting out talking demons. They talk back at you. A lady with a man's voice, macho voice.
Leave her alone. I want her mine.
Say, Pastor Henry, I'm going for supper. You take care of it. Those were the early days. All right? And I'm telling you, I have some experience with casting out demons and also some encounters with all these powers and of darkness. And they are real. But you know what? I have never met a humorous demon. Never. Never. I've never met a humorous demon. Like you walk down the street, you know, a cemetery in Lim Chu Kang and you're whistling. Then the other side. You know, you never find a demon being, you know, that humorous. No, no, no. All right. Pastor Lawrence had an encounter with a demon with Darren one time. They were both on the beach late in Tioman. All right. And a screaming demon ran past by them. No joke. Very fast. You know, they are never laughing. They are always screaming. Either they are grossed by what they saw. Oh, they're just afraid because of the glory. Amen. It's the glory and not the gory. Now, I've never met a laughing demon. Laughing hyena, yes. Laughing demon, no. And the Bible talks about a demon of heaviness, a spirit of heaviness. The Bible talks about a deaf and dumb demon. Duh. You know? Amen? No, that dumb there is they cannot talk. Well, I'm here to tell you, church, guard your emotions. Many of the things that you see happening in your body today or your mind or your financial realm, amen, you don't have to deal with it in these areas. Deal with your soul. Yeah. Amen. Find out where you are fearful. Find out where you are entertaining constant fear. Where you are not trusting the Father's love. Because God's love casts out fear. Yep. Amen. And then get that side prosperous. Amen. And then you will be in health even as your soul prospers. Can I have a good amen, church? Now, first thing we got to learn about the love of God, okay, and I'll never get tired of repeating this, but this is not my sermon today, but I need to go through this before we go to talking about the cycle of love because it's part of the cycle of love. The first thing we need to know is this. This is love. Definition of love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Remember this. New covenant love is not that we love God, but that He loved us. But in so many places in the world today, I would venture to say that more than 50% of the evangelical world today emphasize on our love for God, the people's love for God. But New Covenant love is this. This is love. Definition, not that we love God. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Amen. And I never saw this emphasis for a long time. I was a youth president in my previous church, and I was more of a fiery preacher back then than a teacher. And I would preach, you know, and I would catch my breath, and God wants to be different, and count the cost of discipleship. You gotta catch your breath in those days. And I would preach like, you know, to my young people, you gotta love God. You gotta love God with a passion, with a zeal, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then there's a voice inside me. But how do I do it? Because I myself don't love God passionately. Today, I'm deeply in love with God. Something happened. I really am in love with God. What happened? Well, just a simple truth. I discovered the new covenant. The old covenant, the sum total of the law, the greatest of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And there are people who still believe that we are to preach this and expect Christians to keep it. When God put Israel, for 1,500 years, God put them under this law, and not even the best of them, David, could. Are you listening? Because the law was not given to justify, but the law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. So God put man so that man would know himself, all right, to expose man's sin. And there are people preaching that today, saying that you must keep this commandment if you want to walk in health. That's a real bummer. Because you know what? The more they try, the more they fail. The more they fail, they expect to be sick. So no, we are no more under that law. Again, I repeat, this is love. Not that we love God. That's the law in the Old Testament. But the new has come. He loved us. So for 1500 years, God put men under the law and men could not. God knew it all the time. And then God says, now watch me. You cannot love me, right? With all my goodness, with all my mercy, with all my kindness that never fails but endures forever, you just cannot love me. And I knew that all along. That is sin. It shows how deep our sin is. Then God says, now watch me love you. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. That little word means intensity, so. God didn't just love you. God so loved you that God gave His only begotten Son. Amen? That's how much God loves you. God loves you all His heart, all His soul, all His mind, all His strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So today, we can live our life thinking all the time about, am I loving God? Am I pleasing to God? Or we can live our life enjoying the fact that He loves us. Amen. Reminding ourselves that He loves us. Like the Apostle Paul saying, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Now, in 1999, I preached a sermon on the disciple whom Jesus loved. And who is that disciple? John, whose writings we are studying right now. And in 1999, when I preached it, my wife was pregnant with Jessica. I still remember. And I have seen tremendous blessings come into the lives of people who believe that. And I was sharing about Pastor Mark, and I've been sharing that since that 1999, when he first got hold of that sermon, you know, he was still blundering and making a lot of mistakes. And but what happened back then when he got hold of this truth is that he reminded himself, he had stickers everywhere, his phone, every place you see, it says this, the disciple whom Jesus loved, Mark. In fact, just now, when I was sharing it, he showed me his phone. His new phone. And I look at it, and this is the front page. God's beloved disciple, Mark. And I know this about him. He really practices it. He really believes that he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right, in a short time, what has happened to him? Well, in these 6 years, he started our Hokkien branch as the Hokkien pastor less than 3 years ago. There are people more eloquent than him, more talented than him, who started churches long ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Until now, their churches is only about 400, 500 plus. Pastor Mark's church, less than 3 years, has grown to 1,002. It's only Hokkien service. All right? You look at him in the natural, you wonder, wow, how come? All right? The man really believes that Jesus loves him. Now, is this a secret that is known only to a few? No, it's there in the Bible, hidden, all right? But God has opened my eyes during the 90s. 70s, still very young. Huh? Very, very young. Y'all don't know, very young. Anyway, in the 90s, when I first preached on this, I still remember that, you know, there were things in my life that I'm not blessed with at the time. But it's transformed my life completely, knowing that Jesus loved me. Now, it might seem like a simple revelation, but listen carefully. I preach about the night of the Last Supper. There was Peter and there was John. Peter typifies the Christian who boasts of his love for the Lord. You know, when the Lord says, one of you will betray me, Peter rose up and said, if all this, refer to all the 11, if all this forsake you, I will never forsake you. I will go everywhere for you. I'll do this for you. And you know, he's the type of Christian that boasts of his love for Jesus. Right? And then there was another believer there. His name was John. And John called himself 5 times as the disciple whom Jesus loved in the Gospel of John. I used to think that Jesus loved all 12 differently. John he loved the most. Until I found out that phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved, appears in John's own gospel. John describes himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. What was John doing? Like, let's say in this service, we have Pastor Mark, Pastor Matthews, and Pastor Lawrence, all right, and myself. Then when I go off, I write in my book, my record book or whatever, in the 4th service, Pastor Lawrence, Pastor Matthews, Pastor Mark was there, and the pastor whom Jesus loves. Amen. Now, how many know that I'm practicing Jesus' love for me? Jesus loved all the pastors the same, but I'm practicing Jesus' love for me. Yep. Now, it is for their good that I practice this. Why? Because the more I practice this, the more I love them. It is Pastor Lawrence's privilege to practice this. And I want him to practice this. The more he practices this, he won't be selfish. We will love because he first loved us. He will love Pastor Prince. He will love the rest because the Lord first loved him. So the more you practice that, the more you will flow in love, in the circle of love. And you will walk in the truth. Are you listening? Then, Peter, who boasts of his love for the Lord, when all is said and done, what happened to him before the night was over? He denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Even with cursing and swearing that he never knew the Lord. So what happened to the Christian who boasts of his love for the Lord? He was found denying the Lord 3 times. But where was John, who calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, who depend on Jesus' love, demonstrated by leaning on Jesus' breast? Where was John when Jesus was hanging at the cross? He was at the foot of the cross, together with Mary. Now, every time that phrase appears, the disciple whom Jesus loved, there is a significant truth that I shared in my series on my tape message on disciple whom Jesus loved. But you know something? Listen carefully. Back then, I didn't see this when I preached on it. Every time John calls himself, only 5 times in the Gospel of John, every time he mentioned that he's the disciple whom Jesus loved, study the passage carefully. That was the time he loved the Lord most. But he was oblivious. For example, at the foot of the cross, John says, Mary and the disciple whom Jesus loved. He didn't even say himself and the disciple whom Jesus loved. But you know what? There was a time he loved the Lord the most. And he was oblivious to it. In other words, the more you practice the love of Jesus for you, the more you're conscious of his love for you. You know what? You end up loving him, you don't even know. So we're not saying forget the old commandment. We're just telling you the new covenant way is the way to fulfill the old covenant even. To love God. Amen. Now, Pastor Mark found success. So did John. Hallelujah. John outran Peter to the empty tomb. That shows the zeal and the passion he had to look for Jesus. Amen. Now, all of us who are here, God loves all of us. Come on, God loves all of us. But some people's lives are not transformed. Some people's lives are not filled with blessings. Yet God loves them. So it's not enough that God loves you. God wants you to know that he loves you. And when you believe that he loves you, something good happens to you. Now, the question is this. I know many of you know this message. You have heard me preach a number of times. That's not the question. It's not a matter of knowing in your head. It is a matter of walking in the truth that John is talking about. Amen. You know, one acid test to show whether you've been robbed of this revelation or not, or whether you are walking in the truth or not. Would you like to know an acid test that John himself gives of whether you have lost that revelation of knowing that Jesus loves you in a revelatory way, not the head, but in your heart? Would you like to know how? This is the acid test. Look at this, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Whenever you are fearful of something, the Bible says it involves torment, and perfect love casts out fear. Now look up here. This is the acid test. If right now in your emotions, there is some overriding fear, fear of failure, fear of growing old, fear of having a disease, fear of losing someone's love, fear of losing someone, fear of being retrenched, whatever fear that is overriding in your emotions right now, to that extent, you do not believe that God loves you. Because if you believe God loves you, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Now you don't get rid of fear by saying, I will not fear, I will not fear, I will not fear. In fact, sometimes you say that kind of thing, you end up more fearful. Huh? The way you get rid of fear is to realize that God loves you. And have a revelation of that. Amen. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Why does God want his people free from fear? Because fear involves torture. Fear will torment you. Sometimes it's not the disease that torments you. It is the fear. Sometimes it's not the financial debt that torments you. It is the fear. Sometimes it's not the lack of manifestation that torments you. It is the fear. Fear is like you're alive and yet dead. God wants his people free from fear. God loves you so much, he wants his people free from fear, because God knows fear involves torment. Yep. And fear is not part of God's plan for man. It was only after Adam sinned and God said, Adam, where are you? And he says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. He was hiding behind the tree. Fear came in because of sin. God hates fear. One of Jesus' favorite expressions when he walked on earth is this, fear not. Fear not. Especially when he's doing something miraculous like walking on the water in the middle of the night. And they thought they saw a ghost. His first word, fear not. It is I. In the original Greek, don't be afraid. I am the God of the burning bush. I am. Even when he appeared in his resurrection form to John, John fell like someone dead. He touched John's shoulder quickly and said, fear not, John. Oh, I love that. God wants you to fear not. And the only way for you to fear not, whatever fear it is, fear of not getting married, fear of old age. Amen. Creeping up while you're sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. Had a mischievous thought. If you want someone who can appreciate you more and more as you grow older, marry an archaeologist. Always remember that. Now, because of the anointing we have here, listen carefully, because of the tremendous time of worship we had just now, we encountered God's presence. You know what? Many of you feel, you can even feel the love of God right now. You can sense it. I mean, it's warm, gooey, isn't it? It's wonderful, isn't it? Who says people of faith should not enjoy emotions? God gave us emotions. Ladies, would you marry a guy who says, you know what, since you are bugging me so much, I'll marry you, lah. But I feel nothing for you. I got nothing here for you. But I'll marry you, lah. Will you marry? No. And you know what, church, listen. God made us with emotions. Don't apologize. It's wonderful to feel warm and gooey, knowing that you are God's love. Amen? Those of you, the last time you felt depressed, you felt sad, did you go out there and pass tracts? No, you stayed at home, you watched TV, you fell asleep, right? That means you are affected by your emotions. Don't apologize. God is not against emotions. God gave you emotions. Your emotions should prosper. But listen, what happens when the emotions of being loved is not there? When you wake up the next morning and you find that you have a headache, your cat committed suicide, your child broke your favorite vase, I mean, what are you going to do then? You go out to your car has a punctured tire. I mean, everything seems to go wrong. What do you do then? All right? So the Bible says, remember this circle of love. It says here in verse 16, we have known and believe the love that God has for us. Not only must you know, I know many of you know, even taxi drivers know, oh yes, God loves all of us. But we got to believe the love that God has for us. So at the time when you're having headache, you are feeling lousy, you're feeling down, without any emotion of being loved, talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you because you love me, Lord. Without any sense, just smile at him and say, Lord, I thank you that because you love me, all right, this headache will go away. And before the day is over, I'm going to have a great day. Just because you love me. You know, there are times before I come to the service, I'll say, Lord, I thank you. It's going to be a great service. I'll have good success just because you love me. Amen. Amen. And you know what happens when I realize how much he loves me? Do you know that tonight you are listening to the pastor that Jesus loves? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I find that I fall more in love with the church, with all of you, when I realize how much Jesus loves me. Can I have a good amen? Amen, church. To God be the glory. So the only reason, you know, you can do a lot of things and you forget the love element and becomes professional. For example, your wife can say, all right, it's time to bring the children out on Saturday. All right, so daddy goes out. He can go through all the motions, spending time with the kids and all that, and yet not have the love of God. The Bible says you can pray in tongues and forget the purpose of praying in tongues in Jude 20. When you build yourself praying the Holy Ghost, is to keep yourself in the love of God. And instead, you are trying to use tongues to impress one another. This guy says, have you seen that kind of movement before? They call it warring tongues. Amen. And they shout at the devil, shakala bakala bakala. The devil say, Abba, wah, 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 wah. You know. Because why? The Bible says, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak not unto men, nor unto the devil. You speak unto God. That's the whole idea of speaking in tongues, so the devil will not wire trap it. So they are using tongues to wakala 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 wakala. And the devil say, ah, I don't know what. No. Amen. Already depressed, more depressed. But the thing is this, the devil can feel the effects, yes, but you're not talking to the devil. So we had this movement. I mean, how many have heard this kind of movement? Come on. Yep. Some time ago, I mean, the warring tongues, the warfare tongues, your tongues is too thin, my tongues is fat. You know? We got funny, and people give up on tongues altogether. When actually, when you pray softly, it's just as powerful. If you yell, you're just yelling out your edification. That's all. You know, people think that the more you shout, God is not nervous, you know. And He's not deaf, you know. One of the most powerful prayers you can hear or read about is found in the story of Samuel. Prophet Samuel was born because his mother went to the synagogue, and this is how the mother prayed. The Bible says no words were spoken, her lips only moved. And her womb was barren. And the most powerful miracle happened. God resurrected her womb. But her prayer was just like this, her mouth open. Amen. So don't underestimate things like this. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you must yell. If that is so, you cannot pray in tongues in public. People give you plenty of room. Huh? So the Bible says when you pray in tongues, listen carefully, you must what? Have love. Understand the purpose of praying in tongues. Pray in tongues to keep yourself in a sense of His love. Pray in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. Because if you're trying to do it without love, without a sense of love, the Bible says you become a noisy gong. Gong, 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 or a clanging cymbal. Then the Bible says, when you bestow your goods to feed the poor, there is an offering bag here or somewhere. Never mind. Let's just imagine there's an offering bag in front of me. You know, you can go through the motions of the offering bag being passed here, and you just put your money inside. You put your money inside. There's no sense of God loving you or just say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, I'm able to give. And what I have right now is your love for me. And I'm giving it because I love you. Amen. You know, and the Bible says, though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and have not this love of God, it profits. Singaporeans, listen, it profits me nothing. Amen. But on the flip side, it's also true. If you do it with love, it profits you everything. Your offering will have effect. You can take communion with no sense of love when we take communion. Because you know why? You can take communion and go through the motions. But you know what I think when I see the bread and the cup? These are tokens of His love for me. And then I think of the one who left heaven's glory to come down to be whipped and scourged at a whipping post. I'm sure He fell down many times, but He got up again because the full price for your wholeness must be paid. And they beat Him to a pulp. Blood everywhere, shreds of skin, all right, torn from off His back, lacerations everywhere. And by His beatings, we receive the blessings. And by His stripes, we are healed. Now, when you say like that, by His stripes that He lovingly bore for me because He loved me, I am healed. You don't have to try to exercise faith. Faith works by that love. When you realize how much God loves you. You know, just going around saying, nah, I got the formula, by His stripes I'm healed, by His stripes I'm healed. You can train a parrot to say, by His stripes I'm healed, by His stripes I'm healed. It will profit you nothing if there is no love. Do you understand, church? Can I have a good amen? Amen. Amen. So whatever you are faced with, all right, even though it's bad things, say this, Lord, I thank you, all right, before the day is over, because you love me, everything's going to be all right. This coming week, you're supposed to submit a project and you're not sure whether you're able to finish it or whatever, the way your boss wants it. Say, Lord, I thank you because you love me, you'll give me favor. You'll give me success. However the success translates as, thank you, you love me. And you have my best interest at heart. Can I have a good amen, church? I mean, you can kiss your wife professionally also. You can come to a place where you can express love, you know, before you sleep, you know, as a pact, but the love element is gone. Now, how do you restore that? Bring God's love back. Look at your wife as a love gift from your Abba. Look at your children as a love gift from Abba. When you go for outing together, think of this day is a gift from the loving heart of my Father. And when your child embraces you, that's the Father embracing you with His love. And you know, all of a sudden, everything becomes beautiful. The sky becomes bluer. The grass becomes greener because of love. Amen. Amen. I mean, a little love between a man and a woman can transform lives. That until now, they never stopped talking about it or showing movies about it or having drama series about it. But you know what? Man and woman's love came from God. Why did God make man and woman to love one another? Because God wanted them to know how much Jesus loves the church. Amen? Why did God give you children? To give you heartaches and pain and not enough time. Is that the reason? No, God gave you children because God wants you to know how much He loves you. You know, the little emotion you, in some cases not little, strong emotion, whatever you feel for your child, all right, multiply that a million times. And that's how much your Father loves you. Amen. So it becomes a worship. Your time with your family becomes worship when you realize that. Amen. If not, everything becomes empty. Amen. And all you know, the only love you know is, I love you. You love me or not? Long time you didn't say you love me. Watashi wa anata ga sukudesh. Don't laugh, that's Japanese for I love you. Yeah, Kazuko is here, she's nodding her head. Amen. Japanese people, I love the way they express love with a passion. I once watched a drama, a Japanese drama, and this guy looked at the lady and said, Watashi wa anata ga sukudesh. You know, and the lady turned around and looked at him, and then the subtitles, I love you too. That's what I call passion. Woman, I love you. But all these are little samples. Listen, we love to watch it. We love movies about love story. It makes the world go round and make Hollywood spend money. Amen. For some reason, the songs, 90% of the songs you hear is all about what? Love. So in the heart of every person, there is a cry for love. But people are looking for love in all the wrong places. It's not found even in husband-wife relationship. If the husband-wife relationship is not aware of how much God loves them, all right, very fast that love becomes professional. In fact, when someone gets rejected, you can see whether it's the love of God or not. If I can't have you, nobody will have you. You know, you see the kind of movies? You know what I'm saying? Do you see Fatal Attraction? Amen? You can see whether it's God's love or not. So only the love of God will satisfy you. Are you listening, church? Amen? So there are times you got to believe the love that God has for you. And listen carefully. Don't let the devil put your eyes on the circumstances to prove God's love for you. Like I said just now, you wake up, all right? Things go wrong. Don't let the devil say, you see, all these things go wrong. Something. It's amiss. You must have displeased God somehow. God has stopped loving you somehow. He loves you, but not the way, you know, that He loves Pastor Henry and all that. You know, don't believe that. That's why the Bible says, whenever Paul talks about the love of Jesus, he always says the Son of God who loved, past tense, me. Very interesting. When Paul talks about love, he says, Christ also who has loved us. Why does Paul use the past tense, knowing that Christ loves us all the time? Because it's past tense because Paul always kept his eyes at the cross, where God's demonstration of love was clearly portrayed. All right? God doesn't love you because your circumstances get better. God doesn't love you because it gets worse. God loves you because of the cross. All right? That's how you know God loves you. Now, listen, the cross is not where God's love began. The cross, all right, is where God's love was demonstrated. God loved you long before you were born. Can I have a good amen? Now, if we live life like this, listen carefully. If we live life knowing that God loves us, all right, and we just live life like this, I think to myself, of all the pastors, I'm the pastor Jesus loves. Don't forget, the more I do this, I will not end up being selfish. I will love them more. I'm the pastor whom Jesus loves. And it gives me strength from nowhere. I find an inspiration coming from everywhere. I find a spring to my steps. I find energy that comes from the Lord. I find strength. Now, whenever you find a sense of not being loved or rejection, you find your It affects you, even bodily, mentally. So keep yourself in the love of God. Are you listening? If I say keep yourself in the sun and you'll do fine for your skin. All right, what does that mean? Stay in the sun. Keep yourself in the love of God. God loves you all the time. Stay under it. Now, I tell you, like I said, God loves everybody. But why is it some people's lives are not transformed? Some people's lives are not filled with blessings? Some Christians even. Jesus loves all of us the same. But some Christians like Pastor Mark, blessed, left, right, center. Why is that so? They know God loves them. And there's something about people who believe that Jesus loves them. Finally, you look at them, they really believe, you know, Jesus really loves them. They don't care about what happened to so-and-so and so-and-so. They don't say, oh, because it happened to the person, it may happen to me. They don't say that. They say that, it will not happen to me because Jesus loves me. And people ask, but why did it happen so-and-so? He's a Christian also. I don't know, but Jesus loves me. And they believe that so strongly, when you look at their life closely one day, they begin to appear like the Lord really loves them, you know, compared to the rest of us. When actually, all right, they are releasing their faith to receive all that the love that's already there for all of us anyway. But it's amazing. People start looking and say, hey, this guy really, you know, like, got preferential treatment from heaven, you know, on his life. Are you listening? Amen? Now, we got to make it personal. Whenever you hear someone say, well, Pastor Prince, thank you for saying God loves me, but God loves all of us. You know, people who talk like that demonstrate they don't understand the love of God. Whenever your friends or your colleagues or relatives turn to you and say, yeah, 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 when you say Jesus loves you, yeah, 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 he loves all of us. That means they don't understand. All right? They have just demonstrated they don't understand, because if they really understand, it will transform their life. Come on. You know, what they are doing is that they are dissipating the love of God like sunlight. They don't want it to touch their heart, so they push it aside. Oh, God loves all of us. Do you understand? As opposed to, tell me more how much he loves me. Receive and receive, and like a flower, you'll open up and become beautiful and whole. But instead of that, oh, God loves all of us. They push it aside. That's pushing it aside. Now notice, Paul did not say, the Son of God who loved us. Paul made it personal for himself. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself at the cross for me. He made it personal. I think Paul's handphone will be like Mark, the apostle whom Jesus loves. Amen. When you think of the cross, do you think of, he did it for me. He's there because of me, as if he died only for you. Do you have that consciousness? Then you receive all the blessings of the cross. But instead of that, we look at the cross, you know, we have this self-righteous attitude. Actually, he died down there for all big sinners, except me. I'm sure some of my sins were there, but not that much. You know why? People think this way, pride, self-righteousness. So they're not able to receive that love. You know what? When I look at the cross, I don't think of all of you. He's there because of me. Are you listening? And then when I see that, I sense his love. And when I sense his love, I end up loving you. Can I have a good amen, church? Now, the Bible says perfect love cast out fear. What is perfect love? Because perfect love cast out fear. Is perfect love your fear? Your love for God? No, your love for God fluctuates. Right? Right now you're in the service. Hallelujah. Your love for God goes up. Hallelujah. It goes higher. Amen. After that, you leave the service. All right, and somebody takes your seat while you go to the toilet at the, you know, at the hawker center. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you go to your car park, you realize there's a dimple on your door. Oh my God. And from hallelujah, we go, my God, why? Yeah. On the way back home, all right. You know, people cut in front of you and they don't signal that. Hallelujah. I want to kill you. That's our love in a day. All right? Okay, not your love. My love, okay? It goes up, then it goes down, up and down, and down. But you know what? God's love for you is 24/7. Every day, and it's always like this. Doesn't stand to spiritual reason then for us to put our eyes on that which is constant. Instead of looking at our love for God, we'll always be disappointed. We'll go up and down. But if we keep our eyes on God's love for us, it's always stable. And you will become stable. Amen? 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 I want to bring this to a close. The first way for you to practice this, like I said just now, is to keep on reminding yourself. Once in a while, ladies, when you are doing housework or in the kitchen, just stop and say, I am the Christian whom Jesus loves. Amen. Amen. When you're driving your car, say, I'm the believer that Jesus loves. And Jesus loves me. Amen. And believe it. Like Pastor Mark. Put it somewhere. Believe it. See it. So that's a very vital way, very important way. But there's another way, all right, that you must add on to the first. And it is this. Look up here. Go back to the previous verse. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The second way is this. The more you release that love in your heart for others, the more you have a revelation of God's love for you. I repeat, it's a cycle of love. Look up here. First of all, God is love. Then you realize this God who is love, all right, the reason He made you, God did not make you so that you will serve Him. I repeat, like a child told the parents once, I know now why y'all both had me to run errands for y'all. The parents love, you know? And we have this idea sometimes that God saved you so that you will serve Him. No. You know why God saved you? Because if God is love, it's very painful to be loved and not have someone to love. God made you that you might be the object of His love. That you might be the beneficiary of all His benefits. That you might be the depository of all His blessings. Sounds good? And then out of the overflow, you become a blessing to the world. Can I have a good amen? Amen. God did not say, listen carefully, do witnessing. You shall receive power to do witnessing. He says, you shall receive power and you shall become a witness. You shall be witnesses unto me. And that can be unspoken words when your life is full of His love. So the second way to release that revelation of how much you are loved by God, number one, remind yourself. It's a very powerful way. Number two, release that love on someone. And when you love someone, all of a sudden you find that God's love is all over you. Have you ever given money to someone who does not know that you are the one who gave? I'll tell you, this is one of the most spiritual experiences. If you are able not to take the glory, you give without anyone knowing it's you. You know, I tell you, you walk on a high. It's like angels carry you. It's a wonderful experience. Amen. When you release your love for others, you have a revelation of how much God loves you. This is what Paul says in Ephesians, in his prayer. He says that when you are rooted in this love, then you are able to comprehend with all the saints the length, the depth, the breadth, the height of the love of Christ for you. In other words, the more you express love for one another, the more you'll comprehend the love of Christ. And then the following verse says, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. Keep it in its context. That promise is for people who understand how much they are loved. That's why I like to, in fact, I have a CD series called Good Things Happen to People Who Believe That God Loves Them. Oh, very long title, but very good. Good things happen to people who believe that God loves them. Amen. And long enough, you look at them, their life will be like, you look at them, wow, a lot of good things happen. Huh? You don't understand my trouble, you know, Pastor Prince. You don't understand my trouble, you know, Pastor Mark. I look at your life seems so charmed, so blessed, so this and all that. And you know what? We go through trials like people as well. But you know what? We know that God loves us. We believe in it. Amen. And God's love makes the difference. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We make our boast of His love for us. And then, like I said, people will start to look at you one day and say, wow, you're very lucky. Huh? Like good things happen to you. It's as if God loves you more than the rest, when actually He does not. He loves all of us the same. Amen? So when you leave and you go for dinner afterwards, all right, with your family, and it's crowded, so you say, Lord, you smile. You love me, Lord. You feel as if the Lord loves you more than all these people. Amen? To love all these people. Do you understand? Say, Lord, I thank you. You love me so much. I'm going to get a good seat. Just because you love me. Amen. I do not know how many times I get a good parking lot when I say that. But not all the time. Sometimes you don't get a seat. Then what happened, Pastor Prince? Well, don't judge by your circumstance. God's love, like I said. He still loves you. Amen. And just say, you know what? God must have something better for me to eat somewhere else. And I do not know how many times diversions can be a great blessing. You get to meet people and all that. You just got to believe that. You got to be a diehard, leave heart believer that God loves you. We know So it's not enough, all right? You tell me, Pastor Prince, I know all this teaching. Are you walking in the truth? Are fear still tormenting your heart and mind? That's the acid test. Amen? So let's believe in the name of Jesus that God will give us a revelation of the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the love of Christ. Amen? I want to close with a sharing. And in fact, it happened during right after our Amsterdam experience. We were on our way back at the airport. You know, I never found the release to share this testimony because for reasons that are obvious to you afterwards. All right? But now, today, only today, God gave me this release, okay, to share in all the services. And what happened was this. I was so blessed. I was so, you know, glad I was able to be a blessing, all right, to the people in Amsterdam in that conference, that small conference, and with my leaders. So we all, you know, I was never really alone. I was with people all the time in between the sessions and all that. So even all of us, after the whole conference finished, we were talking about how much God loves these people. We can see how much God loves them. We can see how much God loves us also, in that God honors us to be the ones to impact these leaders. We felt the love of God everywhere. Amen? It was so good. Then we went to the airport to catch our flight. And even there, I didn't have time alone. I was with my leaders, and I longed to spend time with them. We didn't have much time together. All right, we were there. We were all serving and ministering. But you know what? I was looking forward for a quiet flight back on board the best airline in the whole wide world, SIA Airlines. Amen? SIA is the best airline in the world. No other airline comes close. So I was looking forward for a quiet rest. All right? So I got my iPod. My iPod is all filled with my messages for a few years. Amen? And I like to listen to my own messages. Always be careful of eating in a restaurant where the chef will not eat his own food. Okay? Just remember that. There's always a clear sign of danger when the chef looks at his food. No. He ordered from outside. Something is wrong. So, of course, I listen to my own sermons. Amen? After all, I like to listen to anointed sermons. Cannot lie. Amen? Now, I love to listen on board the plane on my way back. Then I was looking forward for a quiet time just by myself. They were all at the back. I was somewhere in between there. And then I was sitting down there and there was no one beside me. I was very glad. You know how glad you are? You're like companionship. This is one time I don't want companionship. I just want to be alone. To watch a few movies, all right, listen to my iPod, read some books, and fall asleep. It's a long flight from Amsterdam to Singapore. Then just before we took off, a lady walked in and she was looking for her seat. Asked the stewardess, and the stewardess said, right beside me. So she sat down there, and I said, hello, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, you sat back, you know, you just want to relax. Then she turned and looked at me again. Are you Pastor Prince? I tell you, I'm ashamed to tell you this, all right? But I must tell you the truth. You know how I felt inside? God! Why? Why not send her to Pastor Lawrence? Beside, you know, or Lian. Lian is a female. Why me? And there were a few chairs, you know, available. So I thought maybe, you know, she would just get the hint or whatever. But when she says Pastor Prince, I can't say anything. So I said, yes. I said, are you a member of the church? She says, no. But I have friends who come to your church and I've heard about you. And she says, I said, are you a Christian? And she looked at me for a while and said, you can say that, but I used to go to church, but I left the church, she said. So I checked, you know, further to find out that she doesn't even understand what the gospel is all about. She ended up saying to me things like, you know, the Christian life is not a very easy life. Huh? It's very hard. Huh? I say, it's impossible. Only Jesus can live that life, amen? It's not hard, it's impossible. We should rest in Jesus and let Him live. Amen. So she looked at me and she knew by now I'm strange. Doesn't take long to realize that. And then she says, made small talk why she was there. She was a high flyer with quite a big corporation here in Singapore, and they sent her there to close a big deal. All right, so she was doing fine, a success. But then she looked at me and can I share something with you? For some reason, you know, she had an openness to share with me about her personal life. She shared about the breakdown of a marriage. In fact, she left the church years ago all right, because of her husband, and she says that she tried to work on a relationship. She tried for a number of years. It broke down. There were all kinds of mess that went on. Then later on, they came back together again. Then she tried again. And this time around, she says she's going to, in fact, she already told herself, she's going to go back to Singapore and try one last time. And the Lord put her beside me. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what God is doing. Amen. So I spoke to her about the gospel for a while, about Jesus. But it's a long flight. You can't be talking all the time. So I took my iPod. Amen. iPod is a wonderful blessing. You got all the sermons down there. Amen. Yeah. It's the modern day Urim and Tumim. You just turn around. Click, 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 click. Boom. Yeah. Amen. God is talking to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Click, 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 click. Boom. Do y'all do that? Y'all don't do that? No, I'm just teasing. So I was looking for a title that I felt impressed to share with her. And I said, would you like to listen to a message? Because I felt that's the best way, the anointing and all that is there, you know? And I can't be talking to her all the time. So she said, okay. So I passed her my iPod and she was listening. Okay? Now, I can't even watch TV. The only TV show I can watch is cartoon. Because people have all kinds of different impressions about pastors, you know? If I play an action movie, oh, you know, they can think, oh, this pastor is not very violent, you know? So you have to be more conservative when people are beside you, amen? And I cannot even sleep. I cannot sleep, you know why? Because if I sleep, you lose consciousness in your saliva and I, oh, you know? So I gotta be pastoral. And after for a while, you know what happened to her as she was listening? This happened. I heard this. And she started crying. And you can see her tissue, you know, she dabbed her eyes, and she was listening to the iPod. I've never seen the effect of my sermon like this before. You know? This is the first time I see immediate effect like this. Because usually I do not know the effect on a newcomer. Right? But it was amazing. She was crying, and I just sat down there and just, you know, pretend to be reading or something like that. And she, what a greater miracle. She listened to the whole sermon. You know how long my sermon is. And she listened to the whole thing. And after she finished, she looked at me and she says, is there any more? I said, you want to hear some more? Another? Yeah, I want to hear some more. So I gave her another sermon that I chose, all right, and she listened to it. Okay? And again, this thing happened. You know, and I sit down there. Orange juice, please. Coffee. You know? And again, she was crying. By the time we touched down, this happened, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. When we touched down, all right, she turned to me, smiled. There were still tears in her eyes, but this time these are tears of joy. I thought I looked into the face of a woman who has lost 10 years completely off her face. She was radiant, and she said this to me, Pastor Prince, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen the effect on a lay person. All right? But, you know, it blessed me. And I'm telling you, when I came out of the airplane and I met these guys, he looked like he just woke up from sleep. You know? Some things were still dry here. You know? No, I'm just dizzy. But he looked like he just woke up. Mark also. You know? So, when I came out, I tell you this, God is my witness. There was such a buoyancy in my spirit. I was looking forward to seeing my family, all right, at the airport, but there was such a strength. There was such a lifting up in my spirit. There was such a good feeling. I felt good in my body as well. God is a good paymaster. Amen. But this is what I'm trying to get across to you. When she first sat down, my first response was, why, God? Okay? But when I walked out from the airplane, I had a strong feeling that not only God loved her, I saw how much God loves her. And she's going back to work on a marriage. By the way, she told me she'd be coming to our church. That's why I kept this for 4 months. So she may have heard this testimony now. She might be here in one of the services. But it's easier for her to feel more calm after 4 months. All right? And she says she's going to work on a marriage. And I think there's hope, Pastor, she says. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know, when I saw that, there was such a... I'm telling you, I felt supernaturally lifted. And I saw them, and I won't mention who, but there are people who look more tired than me. And I didn't even sleep. I felt so good. This is the thing. When you love people, first of all, you see how much God loves them. Then you see something else. When you're able to love them, you see how much God loves you. that God would count you, all right, worthy to be used to love someone. I mean, God could have made her sit with a non-Christian. And she was in a crisis mode in her life. The marriage is about to crumble. It's amazing to see God's love for people. And then all of a sudden, I realized I will not have it any other way. I can turn back the clock. I will not say, God, put her somewhere else. Amen. Because I saw God's love for her. And all of a sudden, I felt so loved by God. And when Jessica hugged me at the airport, it's an extra feeling, you know. I felt like my wife was there. I hugged my wife, kissed her, hugged my daughter, kissed her. And then I felt there was another person there who put his hand around me. That night I slept, I felt someone was standing over me, smiling at me. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to love people. The Lord makes you experience His own love. Do you understand? Keep this revelation strong by reminding yourself that you are the believer that Jesus loves. And then when your heart is filled with that love, release it on your wife, release it on your husband, release it on your children, release it on your mother-in-law. Release it on your enemies. And by the way, when I talk about mother-in-law, I'm not referring to the mother-in-laws in our church. They are mothers in grace. It's all outside one, outside. Amen? Amen, church? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, stop looking for love in all the wrong places. Go ahead, say that. Say, we have found it. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place at this time.
You've been listening to Pastor Joseph Prince, and we trust that you've been blessed. For more information on our messages, books, and videos, do visit our website at josephprince.com. Register today and receive a complimentary MP3 message. You'll also receive an exclusive Meditate and Believe Right daily email by Joseph Prince. Be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.